I consult about communications, and I don't post political, typically anything that's political in nature. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I'm also not naive. We live in a broken, fallen world, and people will use circumstances to their end. And the liar will lie because that's what the devil does. And understanding that, everything's not a conspiracy. Thinking the worst or building a case or hatred, that is never healthy for the believer.
Followed by nearly 40 years of serving and leading on church staffs and nonprofits, Gary Mays now invests his heart's passion and ministry experience into serving leaders and the people they serve. I wanted to invite Gary back to discuss the way this coronavirus pandemic has temporarily, let me underline temporarily, redirected the way the church meets, does ministry, and maybe some other things we'll throw in there. But Gary, hi and welcome to Byte Radio Network.
Byron, it is great to be with you today.
Not only are you dealing with the COVID-19 like everyone else, but severe weather moved through your area in Mississippi on Sunday. How bad were those storms, Gary?
I'm in Madison, Mississippi, just north of Jackson. The storms were really probably 80, 90 miles south of us at their worst. We had some slight hail, lots and lots of rain, but two Sundays in a row with bad weather, it has sort of moved right around us personally. But 14, I think, killed last weekend, Sunday a week ago, and then one or two in extreme south Mississippi, just on that North Louisiana border above New Orleans. It's tragic, and we have a number of communities in Mississippi. As soon as they sort of dried out and regrouped, the storms came through again. It's been a tough 10 days or so.
Tell us about the Council House restaurant and its role during this storm recovery.
Well, just setting that up for a moment, I've had the privilege for a little over a year of being the director or the vice president of operations at an incredible Christian boarding school called French Camp Academy. I do that about 12 to 14 days a month on site. Byron, you know how it works these days. If your phone works, you're on call all the time.
Right.
I drive about an hour and a half to French Camp Academy. It's this incredible Christian boarding school with about 140-year history. We built a restaurant over the last two or three years. They've had a small cabin that functioned as a little sandwich and soup diner. It was a historic cabin, moved into a beautiful facility, loft ceilings, deck, two huge fireplaces, just gorgeous. We opened in November, and we experienced the coronavirus tap dance like everybody else.
Yeah.
Byron, you know my son, Josh Mays, who is the worship pastor at High Point Church. Years ago, we had a church plant I planted in 1991, and we were on the frontage road of an interstate artery that runs right through Jackson, Mississippi. And Josh was all of 14 years old, and he made this observation. He said, "Dad, we're conveniently located where nobody lives." And I thought that was really insightful. And that's French Camp Academy. We have this beautiful restaurant where nobody lives. People have to drive in. It's in the middle of some rural counties. So we did exactly what you would expect. We social distanced, then we did takeaway, curbside, and we shut that down after three or four days. I think nationally we were becoming accustomed to social distancing, even though Mississippi didn't have, at that point, a shelter-in-place order. We shut down for about 2 weeks, but we have reopened. We've done family meals, and we're doing curbside. And interestingly, because we're in a rural county and we have some capacity, we have served the Entergy, our regional power company. We've served their disaster crews, their bucket crews. Last week, we served 710 guys over a two-day period. So we're doing some disaster relief. We're serving the community, trying to be faithful and adhere to good social distancing and sanitation issues.
I love these God-sized stories, Gary. You know, we have to be, as the church, fluid in times like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not rigid, but looking for ways that we can meet the need.
Well, it strips away an event like this. It strips away the assumption that our systems and our organizations and our corporations and even our churches are rock solid and they're what we put our trust in. It just reminds us our trust is in the Lord. It is not in horses and chariots. That's been one of the realities. Very quickly, at French Camp, we have a 60-year history of a camp called Camp of the Rising Sun. 70 college staff, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids through the summer, 4 full-time year-round employees at the camp. Byron, we're in moments right now like much of the world. What is that going to look like? How are we going to do that this summer? We've got all these language and consulting world like best practices and systems and processes, but all the rules have changed.
Gary, you know, as we look at this virtual church thing, you know, so many churches, as you mentioned, are offering their congregations this virtual experience online. Of course, it's impacting their congregations and even beyond. Other people are tuning in. Are you talking with pastors about the balance of being yourself and being online? I mean, for many, this is uncharted territory. They don't have a tech team on staff, not to mention the tech gear, or a church that's sometimes connected. There's many rural churches that have no connectivity at all.
That's right. And if they do, it is it's difficult and sometimes awkward. But you used a line, cliche apology aside, you have to be who you are. A small church that runs 80 on Sunday morning in a rural county in Tennessee or Mississippi or Arkansas, that pastor has to have a relationship that shepherds and feeds his people, which is different than the dynamic of the mega church experience, if you will. I don't normally even use that phrase, but a church that's gone to a different scale, different expectations, different availability of technology. It's been a really strong challenge. The fact of the matter is, churches sometimes that run 80, 90, 100, 200, that is their scale. Those are all the people they can take care of. That's all the structure they have. When everybody had freedom and access, and now they're having to relearn what it means to shepherd people, to take care of them, to provide for them. And we think about the marker moments like funerals and death and end-of-life experiences with distancing and sheltering in place. It has been a significant challenge.
Oh, my. Especially those who have family members in long-term health care facilities, you know, nursing care facilities, which you and Kathy are one family that do. Is it your mom or Kathy's mom that lives in a nursing?
Kathy's mom.
Yeah.
And Byron, Kathy's mom suffers from dementia, Alzheimer's potentially. She's in a long-term memory loss unit. And she might be more of the she may be healthier than the majority of the ladies that are in this unit, but she had gotten to the point, even though my wife visited every day, that she had to become, for a few moments, kind of reacquainted with Kathy. Well, she's been effectively in lockdown for 4 weeks, and Kathy and I had this conversation. She is not going to probably know Kathy when Kathy returns. So really, Kathy may have seen her mother for her mother to know her for the very last time 4 weeks ago.
Oh, my.
Because we're all the way down that road, you know, based on observable patterns in other people. That's not that God can't do something special with Yvonne, but realistically, it is unlikely she will know Kathy or either of us next time. And we've gone to the big plate glass windows with posters, and we've waved, we've made the trip by, but that's not even a place we can access well. So it's just a reality.
Yeah.
This may be the transition due to the coronavirus that takes my wife's mother out of play relationally. Very difficult.
Well, Gary, I know our prayers with you and Kathy, your family.
Thanks.
Through that. As I mentioned, uncharted territory, what have been, Gary, some innovative ways you've seen the church step into this arena as it keeps the gospel as its mandate for ministry?
I've been so encouraged by the creativity, by the God-breathed moments where the church has mobilized in this. There's some very tangible expressions, of course. It's the food banks, it's the families, it's the processes where I know a number of congregations who've checked on people who are single and alone regularly. They've essentially adopted a pattern of checking on their people. So they've really shepherded or chaplained those people really, really well. But I've also seen, beyond that, some expressions of the gospel pure and simple expressed. I mean, I've seen a number of Facebook posts and social media posts of people telling their story of coming to Christ, or telling their story of their hope for their life in Christ, or how they're dealing with the pandemic because of their faith in Christ, the solid foundation of their relationship with Jesus. And that's been really encouraging to see people come out of sort of come out of the dark with their testimony and come to social media, which is our primary means of communication, and go straight to their testimony. It's been so encouraging. And then there have been some really creative other places within the church's ministry, like student ministry. We had a church here that 3 weeks ago put together yard signs and went into the yards of their seniors, and with their name on the sign said, "We love you, celebrating you as a senior, praying for you going ahead into your future. God bless Katie," or "God bless Josh."
Wow.
And they've just done the tangible things to say, "We are remembering you."
I love that, Gary. Well, that's great. Well, something else as we kind of wind this thing down, Gary, the Christian living in fear of all those conspiracy theories out there, you know? I know the media is telling us one thing, but what's really going on is blank, 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 or the government is trying to control us by doing blank, 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 blank. I remember Adrian Rogers once said that most of the things that we worry about never even happen.
This has brought to the forefront a brand new view of we live in a broken, fallen world. It's beyond our personal control. It's totally in God's hands. I am very, very careful. I consult about communications, and I don't post political, typically anything that's political in nature. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I'm also not naive. We live in a broken, fallen world, and people will use circumstances to their end. And the liar will lie, because that's what the devil does. And understanding that, everything's not a conspiracy. Thinking the worst or building a case for hatred, that is never healthy for the believer. The people in my conversation, the few times I do engage online, I urge caution and perspective. This is a real thing, and nobody really wants this country to suffer. Nobody in their right mind on any side of an aisle or a political persuasion or a theological worldview, nobody's hoping for hate.
Yeah.
Outside of the sociopath somewhere.
Right.
So let's have some perspective. Let's pray for those who don't align with us, and recognize that ultimately, our source and our trust, our faith and our rest is in Christ alone.
Gary Mays, God bless you, my dear brother. Always a pleasure to have you here with us.
Byron, the pleasure and privilege is absolutely mine. Any way I can serve you ever, I appreciate you, my brother.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.